The economy is something we hear talked about, something we hear mentioned quite often, quite regularly when we switch on the news, whether on television or maybe on the radio in the car. At some stage, there will be a report given about the economy. There will be specific news regarding business and the state of affairs financially and in terms of the economy. In fact, some news programs have a dedicated section for dealing with those things surrounding business and economics. And of course, over the past number of weeks, there's been a lot of bad news about the economy. The cost of living, unfortunately, is rising. No doubt every one of us feels that cost. I keep getting emails from different companies saying my phone bill's gone up or my internet bill's gone up. Nothing seems to be going down, but everything seems to be going up, and everything is increasing in cost. And the economy seems in so many ways to be in turmoil. Think of home heating oil and diesel and petrol, and everything seems to have been thrown into a state of chaos, and it never comes down as quick as it has gone up. In fact, it very rarely ever goes down to what it was before. But there's a rise in all these things, a rise in food, a rise in building materials, a rise in everything in the economy, and costs just seem to be going up and up. Of course, there are many different reasons that we have for these changes in price and for effects on the economy. We have spikes in demand. We have circumstances in the world. We have different events that take place. We have maybe difficulties in the supply of certain things. And that's really the economy. It's so volatile. It's so changeable. It is not the same one day to another. And really at the center of it all and at the very heart of everything around the economy is that thing called money. Money is needed to produce food. It's needed to produce goods. It's needed to buy them. It's needed to keep the economy going. It's really what fuels the economy. And it's that part of the economy, the money, that really affects us, the price that we have to pay for things. As we come to verse 1 of Isaiah 55 in this portion of Scripture that we've read tonight, in many respects, this first verse of this great chapter of Scripture, it is dealing really with economics. It's dealing with the economy in some respects. The Lord speaks here of supply and demand. He speaks of a product. He speaks of the economics of the product. He speaks of the price of the product. And whilst the verse is speaking in physical terms, as we'll see shortly, it is using the things, the language of physical things, but really the lesson here is not in physical economics. It is not in the economies of the world, but the lesson that the Lord has for us here, it is a spiritual lesson. It is a lesson that is far more important than the physical economy. And really the subject of the Lord here in verse number 1 is that of the economy of salvation. And that's really the subject as we come to look at verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 55. And you might be thinking tonight, well, the economy, that's not really my strong point. That doesn't interest me. I'm not a business person. That isn't something that I'm interested in. Well, it's not my strong point either, but this verse is of interest to all of us. Remember, there's a spiritual application here. There's a greater meaning than what we first see here as we read these words of the Lord. And dear friend, tonight, this lesson here in verse number 1, it has to do with your soul. It has to do with spiritual matters. It has to do with your relationship with the Lord. And therefore, tonight, we're to pay attention. We're to take heed. We're to take an interest in what the Lord would have to say to us tonight. There are three things, very simply, we want to consider from this verse this evening, thinking about the economics of salvation. Notice firstly here, the supply. The supply. Now, when we think of economic markets of the world, there has to be a supply of goods. There has to be a supply. Otherwise, there would be no economy. There has to be something to purchase. There has to be something produced. There has to be something of interest to enter into the markets, to circulate, to be purchased, and to stir up all the aspects of the economy. There needs to be a supply. And there's a supply of many different things in the markets around the world today. New cars, new houses, machinery, tools, tires, computers, mobile phones, food, and many more things that we could list And there's a great supply of many different things. But as we come to the words of the Lord here in verse number 1, the Lord deals with the supply of food and of water. He's dealing with the food chain, the supply of those things that are necessary, the supply of those things that are essential to each and every one of us this evening. Look at verse number 1. The Lord says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price." The Lord makes reference here to water, to bread, and to wine and to milk. Things that nourish us. Things that supply our need. Things that are a requirement of our body in order to stay alive, in order to be nourished, in order to live a life here on earth. These are things that are essential. These are a life-giving supply. That's what the Lord is dealing with, and how important these things are for life. But the Lord, remember, is not dealing here really with physical material. He's not really dealing with food as his primary point here, but he's dealing with spiritual things. He is dealing with the great work of salvation. He is dealing with spiritual food. He is dealing with a spiritual supply, and there is a comparison made here in verse 1 between food and water, between those things that are necessary to our body with that which is necessary to our soul, the great work of salvation. Think firstly about water. The Lord mentions there, he commands us to come to the waters. He tells us to come and drink. Now, water is absolutely essential to life. We cannot survive without it for much more than a few days of clean, fresh drinking water. And our life just simply cannot be sustained without a fresh supply of water. It's true in nature. It's true in terms of plants and trees and wildlife, although some plants, of course, and trees can go a bit longer. But it is true generally across nature that water is essential to life. And so too it is, as the Lord here speaks of spiritual things, so too it is of salvation. Salvation gives us spiritual life. Scripture tells us that in our natural state we're dead in trespasses and our sins. We're dead to God. We're dead to spiritual things. If you don't know Christ tonight as your Savior, you might be alive physically. You might be sitting here in the meeting. You might be aware of all that's going around you. You might feel alive, but within yourself, spiritually speaking, you have no life. You're dead in your trespasses and in your sins. And yet Christ here, he reminds us that salvation gives life. It revives our souls. It awakens us to the things of God. We receive new life in Jesus Christ. Just as water nourishes us and sustains our physical life, so too salvation gives us spiritual life. What did Christ say in John 4? In the verse 14 there, he was dealing with the woman at the well. And he was teaching her a great spiritual lesson. He said to her, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Here's Christ using the same lesson that we have here in Isaiah 55 in the verse 1. And as this woman was drawing water from that well, water that she needed so desperately to sustain her life, Christ begins to expound to her the great truth that she has a greater need. That not only does she have a physical thirst, but a spiritual thirst. And he comes to this woman and he reveals to her that he is the water of life. And if she would but come to him and trust in him, drink the water that he offers, she would live for all eternity. And so too it is in our text here, just without physical water we would die. So too it is in relation to salvation tonight. And dear friend, without Christ this evening, you're spiritually dead. You'll remain that way without the Savior. You will remain that way for all eternity. Your sin, your spiritual deadness will lead you to everlasting damnation. However, Christ supplies life. Christ is the life giver. He's the giver of abundant life. He's the giver of eternal life. And as Christ here reminds us of that physical need of our body, he's reminding you tonight that you have that spiritual need. William Leslie penned the great words of that chorus in a well-known hymn, "Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver, life, life, abundant life, glory to Jesus forever. Christ is the giver of life." And dear friend, tonight you need that spiritual nourishment. You need this spiritual life. Don't look to the things of the world. Don't look to those things that will not quench and satisfy the thirst in your soul for the things that the world offer. They will never satisfy your thirst. They will never meet that need that is in the depths of your soul. They will never give you life, but they will lead you to that eternal damnation in hell. But you're to come to Christ tonight. Drink of the living water. Come to the fountain of life this evening. Come and drink and never thirst again. Christ speaks of water. He also speaks of eating. Here in verse 55, I suppose really we could say that he's referring here to bread. It's dealing with that which is like water, essential to life. We cannot live without food. We cannot live without those vital nutrients and vitamins and calories and sugar and all the things that our body needs to function properly. Remember, the Lord is dealing here with spiritual things. Think of what Christ said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And Christ is reminding you here tonight that the only way that the need of your soul can be met is by coming to the Savior. Not only is he pictured here in the water, but he's pictured here in the food and the bread. He is all that you need to live. He is all that you need for spiritual satisfaction. The only way tonight that your soul can be satisfied, the only way that your problem of sin can receive a remedy is by coming to Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the fount of living water, the one who has died on Calvary to save you from your sin. And God is reminding you here tonight that it is to Christ and Christ alone you must come. I wonder, would you do that this evening? Would you turn from the things of the world? Would you turn from those things that you're trying to find satisfaction from in this life? Would you leave your sin behind? Would you flee to Jesus Christ tonight? Would you trust in him, the bread of life? Would you come to that fount of living water? The Lord goes on in verse 1 to speak of wine and milk. And that's really just going on to remind us again of that spiritual nourishment and the things that we need. Think of milk. It speaks to us of purity and refreshment. Even think of the color of milk just in passing, and that white just reveals how pure it is. It is bright, it is pure, it is spotless. And dear unsaved soul, tonight that is what your soul needs. It's a purity that cannot come from within. It's a purity that cannot come from the things of the world. It cannot come from your good works, but it's a purity that is found in the Savior. It's a purity that is found in Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, that one who lived a perfect life on your behalf, that one who died that death on Calvary to save men and women and young people from their sin. That's the purity you need this evening. When you repent of your sin and you trust in Christ, you're cleansed in the precious blood of the Savior. As Christ looks upon you, he no longer sees the stench and the dirt and the filth of sin in your heart, your soul, but he sees the purity of the Savior. What a wonderful thought that is this evening. He sees the precious blood that covers all sin. There's a purity in this salvation. It's not found in the things of the world. It's not found in the things of this life. It's a purity that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Think of how refreshing milk and water are on a warm summer's night. And dear friend, there's nothing more refreshing, nothing more enjoyable for your soul tonight than the Savior. Nothing more satisfying, nothing more desirable to your heart and to your soul tonight than trusting in Christ as your own and personal Savior. Oh, the things of the world might bring you pleasure for a while. Oh, they might satisfy or seem to satisfy for a short period, but they do not bring any real lasting pleasure. They fail, they fall, they perish. If you want true peace, if you want true joy, if you want true satisfaction and fulfillment tonight, Christ is the answer. There's a supply in this world to satisfy our physical thirst and hunger, a supply that is essential to life, and Christ points to that here in verse number 1. But even more important than that, there's a supply in Christ tonight to meet your spiritual needs. Supply in Christ to satisfy your soul, a supply that is essential to eternal life in heaven. Do you know Christ tonight? Are you trusting in Him? The supply. Notice secondly this evening, the seeking. The seeking. We're using that really to keep with our S's. A better word would be the demand. Supply and demand, as we learn about in the economy. And those are two very important things. A supply is always there to meet a demand. Without the demand, there would be no need for the supply. If we didn't need food, if we didn't need water, and we're speaking of physical things here, then there'd be no need to produce them. Those things wouldn't need to exist. They are there, they're in supply, they're in the economy. Why? Because there's a demand for them. Because there's a need for them. And you might say to me tonight, well, you're speaking of spiritual things, and I don't need those spiritual things from Christ. I don't need salvation. I have a pretty happy life. I'm getting on just fine. I seem to be doing okay. I don't need Christ. I don't need the things of God. I don't need what Scripture offers. I don't need what the Savior offers. I don't need these things that you're speaking of tonight. I'm just fine. There's no need in my heart and my soul. And yet, very simply, let us apply same economic principles of supply and demand here to the spiritual realm. If man does not need salvation, if there's nothing wrong with your soul tonight, dear friend, if there's no sin within you, if you're not corrupt, as Scripture tells you, if you're not born in sin, if you're not heading to that lost sinner's hell as a result of the fall of man, if these things aren't true, then there would be no need for Christ to die on the cross. There'd be no need for Calvary. However, there is salvation offered. Christ did indeed die on the cross. Why? Because there's a need for it. You need it tonight. Look at what the Lord says in our text, verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Here's the need. We become thirsty physically. It reminds us of a need we have in our body. It reminds us that we need satisfied. Reminds us that there is some feeling within. We need to top up on nourishment, whether food or water. And dear friends, tonight we're reminded here that we're spiritually thirsty. We have a spiritual need. Romans 5, verse 12 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And tonight you might deny you're a sinner. You might deny that you have a need of salvation. You might deny that there's anything wrong with your heart and your soul, but it doesn't take away from the fact tonight that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. There's evidence of that all around us. There's evidence of that in our own lives. None of us are perfect. We think, we say things, we do things that are not right. We know they're wrong. We know we shouldn't do them. We have broken the law of God. We are sinful men and women. What's the ultimate evidence of this? Well, as we learn in our text in Romans 5 and the verse 12, the ultimate evidence of sin is death. And it is very clear that because sin affects us all, that death affects us all. Death is a result of sin. We almost die physically, yes, of course, and that is a result of sin. But if we continue in this life and into God's eternity without having our soul cleansed in the precious blood of Christ, we will die spiritually for all eternity. We'll be cast into the pit of hell forever and forever. There's a need in your soul tonight, dear friend. There's a demand for this great work of salvation. Christ died not to save himself from sin. He was the one who knew no sin. Christ didn't come just to make himself look good or just because he felt like it. And we say those things reverently, but Christ came because there was a need. We're told that he came to seek and to save the lost. And tonight, dear friend, you're lost. You're born in sin. You fall short of the glory of God. You're a sinner by nature, a sinner by action, and that sin is leading you to lost sinner's hell. It's leading you to spiritual death forever and ever, and you have a need tonight. You're in need of a remedy for your sin-sick soul. Praise God. In verse 1, we're reminded that Christ has provided that remedy. And in the pages of Scripture, right from Genesis to Revelation, we have pointers and signs and scriptures that reveal to us that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. That's the remedy tonight for your soul. They who trust in Jesus Christ shall be saved. They'll receive the remedy. And here, as we come to our text in Isaiah 55 and the verse 1, God is telling you to come to Christ. Think of what he's saying there in verse 1. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And God is saying to you tonight, O sinner, come to Christ. Come and receive life. Come and have the need of your soul met. Come to the Savior. Come to the fount of the living waters. I wonder, would you do that tonight? Would you come, O thirsty soul? Would you come, your soul, in great need of salvation, great need of spiritual nourishment? Would you come tonight to the Savior? Would you come to Christ? Would you come and partake of what he has to offer through his precious shed blood? Would you come tonight and be saved? The supply, the seeking. Notice thirdly, and finally here tonight, in keeping with our S's again, the sterling. In other words, the cost or the price. A large part of the economy, of course, is to do with money. As we said in our introduction, it's needed to produce food. It's needed to buy food. We all have the need of food and water, and we all have need of that physical nourishment. And the reality is that unless we have the means to buy it, we would starve. That's really the reality. We would thirst, and we see that in poverty-stricken parts of the world. Men and women who have no means to purchase food, no means to access clean water, they become malnourished, and eventually it leads to death. Tonight, as we think of these spiritual things, we see here that we're in need of salvation. We know very clearly from Scripture that salvation is available through Jesus Christ. He has supplied it, but how do we get it tonight? You may say tonight, well, we earn it through our good works. Maybe you say, well, we can purchase it by giving money to the church or by helping out charity or by helping our neighbors who are in need. That's how we get salvation. Some may think, well, we must be rich, we must be wealthy, we must have attended church for so many years, we must be baptized, we must go on pilgrimages, we must be from a certain part of the community, we must be a certain type of person. But that's not the teaching of Scripture. Look very carefully at what the Lord says in our text. Verse 1 of Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What's happening here? God's calling for the poor to come to Christ. He's calling for those with no money. He's calling for those without anything to give in return. And of course, he's dealing spiritually here. God is saying to those that are spiritually poor, those that have no spiritual wealth, those that have no means to purchase salvation, he is telling them tonight to come to Christ and be saved. Here's an invitation for us all. We're all spiritually poor tonight. No matter what our physical finances are like, there's one thing that unites us all. We're all spiritually poor. We've nothing to offer God. Our good works are worthless. Our money is worthless. We have nothing tonight, spiritually speaking. Our sin has robbed us of every spiritual value and every spiritual worth. And you might say to me tonight, well, I'm not holy enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not as good as I need to be. And tonight, you're right. That's right about us all. But look at what God is saying. He's not calling for those who are spiritually rich. He's not calling for good works. He's not calling for money. He's calling those that have nothing to come to Christ. What a wonderful grace and mercy that is tonight to a room of people that have nothing to offer Christ. We have nothing to give him. We have nothing that can merit salvation, and yet God is looking for us tonight to come with nothing. Why? Because Jesus Christ has already paid the price. He's offered his life for us. He has paid the price for sinners. He's bore the punishment for sin. He has sacrificed himself on the cross. He has paid it all. And we are to come to Christ with nothing because, very simply, we've nothing to offer to Christ. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your knowledge is regarding the Bible. It doesn't matter how rich or how poor or how many times you've been to church or not. God tonight is calling you to come to Jesus Christ. You're to come just as you are. You're to repent and to trust in Christ for the salvation of your soul. Come with nothing to offer, nothing to bring. Come just where you are tonight. Come in your sinful state tonight to the Savior. Come with all your thirst and hunger after spiritual things. Come to the bread of life and the fount of living water. I wonder, would you do that tonight, dear friend? Come to the Savior tonight. Just come to him as you are. Come without money, without riches, and trust in him as your own and personal Savior. Trust the Lord would bless this word to your hearts tonight, and indeed it would be the experience of your heart and your soul that you would trust in Christ as your own and personal